Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
People ask me, they say, what do you believe? And my response is always, I don't believe anything. There are so many theories out there that if I start believing one of the theories and it's incorrect, I won't focus on the rest of them, and then I'm going to miss what happened to them. So right now, I just have to keep an open mind until somebody presents evidence that says, this is what happened to him. I know he's not with us, but what happened to him?
Hello, and welcome to episode 82 of The Vanished. 3-year-old Jared Atadero disappeared while hiking in the Colorado mountains on October 2, 1999. Years later, Jared's clothes were discovered several hundred feet above the trail that he was on when he vanished. Later, a tooth and part of a skull would be located in the area as well. Even though some questions have been answered, much mystery still surrounds this case. This is Jared's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. If you listened to the last episode, you know that I'm about to have a baby literally any day now. I've been working on a couple of projects, but I'm not quite as productive as I usually am. Because of that, I'm sharing this special episode with you guys. I interviewed Jared's dad, Alan, today, and I'm going to share it with you with very minimal editing. I know that several of you were just talking about the Missing 411 movie recently in the Facebook group, and Jared's case is featured in that movie. I thought this would be a great opportunity for you guys to learn more about Jared's case. So with that, here's Alan.
Yeah, Jared disappeared on October 2nd, 1999, up in the Poudre Canyon in the mountains of Colorado. We were up there just kind of hanging out. We owned a resort at the time, and some friends were up there helping us out. And they decided to go to a fishery about a mile and a half away from our resort. At the time, you know, it's no big deal. My daughter came up and asked, hey, Dad, can I go with them? And through reassurance, I said, sure, no problem. Having no idea that, you know, about 5 minutes later, Jared would come running up and asking the same question. Jared came up. I told him no originally. And again, I was told it's no big deal. It's a fish farm. We're just going to go check out the fish and we'll be back right after that. So I thought, you know, okay, I guess that can't hurt. So everyone kind of packed up into the vehicles and they took off and they drove right up the road, took at this fish farm. In the meantime, I'm still back at the resort, and I'm just kind of hanging out, and I decided to just sit down and relax. It may have been like about an hour and a half, 2 hours later. I'm sitting there, and I hear a big commotion going on inside of the resort, the store, and some people walk from the store into our apartment because they're connected, and the two women were totally animated, and they came up to me, and they said, Alan, we have a problem with Jared. And I look at them and I'm like, what do you mean there's a problem with Jared? They said, well, you need to sit down. I said, no, I'm fine. What happened to Jared? Did he fall? And they said, no. I said, did he break an arm? No. Did he turn his ankle? No. And I'm like, well, what happened to him? And their response to me was really crazy because they said, he's okay. We just can't find him. And I'm like, what do you mean he's okay? You just can't find him. And they said, you know, don't panic. You know, there's a lot of people up there. They're looking for him right now, but he's okay. And at that time, you know, my entire body just went kind of crazy. I didn't know what was going on. I told them that I would meet them out front because I wanted to take my vehicle and drive up to where Jared had gone missing. And they told me, they said, well, we're not at the fish farm anymore. I was like, what do you mean you're not at the fish farm? People decided that hike was not nice enough. There were 13 adults. They said they wanted to go on another hike. And this other hike was up the canyon. I think it was another 15 miles up the canyon called the Big South Trail. I had no idea they were going there. I got in my vehicle and I drove that 15 miles, I think, faster than anybody should have ever been on that road because it's windy and it's a mountain road. I actually yelled and screamed all the way up the road, banged on my chest. I didn't know what was going on. And when I got there, it got to the base of the trail, and I told my friend who was our manager, said he wanted to call search and rescue. And I told him, you know, there's no reason to call search and rescue. They said, you know, there are people right there. They're going to find him. And not only that, I honestly believed that I would get up there and just yell Jared's name and Jared would come running out to me.
Yeah.
I really thought that. And so I got on the trail and there were several people that were with the hiking group. And I went with one of the gentlemen and we went literally running up the trail. And as I was running up the trail, I was yelling everything that I could think of that I always called Jared. I called Jared, J-Rod, little man, everything. And I called his name. And the farther I went up the trail, I realized, oh my gosh, this is a crazy trail. It narrows at places. It drops off at other places. And the farther I got up, the more fear started running through my body. And I started thinking, you know what? You know, this is a huge place. Am I going to be able to find him or not? And the more I ran, I stopped and I began to panic. I thought, you know what? I should have had my friend call search and rescue. About that time, I started thinking about my daughter and, you know, where is she? She was on the trail with him. My daughter and my son were both up on the trail. And I started to panic because I wanted to see my daughter. I mean, I desperately wanted to hold my daughter at that time. And I decided to start going back down to the parking lot. And I had a radio with me. And about halfway down, I got a message from my friend Butch. And he says, hey, Alan, we're at the base of the trail right now. One of the deputies is here. And I kind of freaked out. And I said, Butch, I said, you're not going to believe this, man. I said, but you need to go call search and rescue. And he said, don't worry. The second you walked out the door, even though you said not to call them, I called them. So I was really thankful for that. But I was still going back down into the parking lot, and I was concerned with my daughter, and I wanted to see my daughter. And I was told, you know, there's only one way in and one way out on this trail. So there's no way in the world she could have left the trail too. They're probably up there still looking for your son. In the meantime, it must have been about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes later, a vehicle comes pulling up with a woman named Janet. She was in there with Jossie. Well, she had Jossie originally and Jared originally. And I was trying to figure out where she came from because everyone was saying there's only one way in and one way out. There's no way she could have come off the mountain either. And I found out that she had panicked looking for Jared. And she took Jossie back down to the resort where we lived. And then she came back up without Jocelyn. So I'm like, wow, you know, that's kind of weird. They're saying that there's only one way in, one way out. You know, they would have seen her come off the mountain. And so that was kind of puzzling to me too, thinking, how did she get my daughter off the mountain? So again, I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? And at the same time, I'm believing that they're going to find him because it wasn't long after that where the search and rescue teams showed up, and the search and rescue teams were just, they're incredible. They were incredible people. They were like angels, like walking on the trail. And this guy walked by me and he said, don't worry. If he's up there, we're going to find him. So I thought to myself, oh yeah, you know what? I'm really thankful you said that. And even though they didn't find him that night, and they didn't find him, you know, a few days later, and there were a lot of strange things that happened during that week of the search, to me, it's like those two things became a like a battle cry for me after I got back off the mountain. For instance, I used to think, you know, he's okay, we just can't find him. I thought at the beginning, originally, I thought that's a crazy thing to say to somebody. But yeah. But when I got off the mountain, I'm thinking, he's okay, we just can't find him. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's something I need to hold on to. And then on top of that, when the one search and rescue member said, if he's up there, we'll find him, I started thinking about that too, saying, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe the reason they didn't find him is maybe because He's not up there. So there were so many different things that were going through my head in the works. I found out later on that while Jared was on the trail, people heard a scream. And there's still a debate on what type of scream it was. In the report states that some people say the scream was a playful scream where they thought Jared was playing with somebody. Other people say, no, it was a scream where he sounded like maybe he was afraid. So I don't really know, what became of that scream, why it happened, and if it was even Jared. So those are some of the things. I said, just really frustrated during the search. We had several people that wanted to come up to the mountain and help find Jared, and a lot of people were turned away. Experts were turned away. People with search dogs were turned away. I met people years later that said they had the best dog in the country, and they said they were turned away. And I was just puzzled on why. So many people were turned away when here's this little boy, literally 3 months shy of his fourth birthday, is up there missing. And I was hoping they were all trying to find him.
Yeah. Did you ever get any answer as to why they turned so many people away?
No, never really did. I mean, I have my own belief. And my own belief is the fact that nobody had ever been in a situation like this before. And when Jared disappeared, I think everybody believed they were going to find Jared, including myself. Everyone did. So I think they were trying to just keep people off the mountain. Number one, they didn't want people going up there in the whole works, getting in the way. Number two, I think they thought they were going to find him, and they wanted credit, hopefully, for the rescue. And I don't blame him for that. But except it was frustrating. I mean, even when my family and I tried to get up there, we were told, it's kind of over the radio. I was at the resort and I heard the radio, and my mom and my sister-in-law and my aunt happened to be at the bottom of the trail. And a guy came over the radio and was radioing another deputy and said, listen, the Adderall family, they're causing problems. And if they don't stop causing problems, we're going to have to arrest them. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what do you mean they're going to arrest my family? My family's just trying to get up here, trying to help. And when they finally let us on the trail, we went up the trail trying to find Jared. This was already, I think, the third day after he disappeared. And in the meantime, the day after Jared vanished on that Saturday, October 2nd. Sunday, October 3rd, they had a helicopter actually up there looking for him, a Huey. And the Huey actually crashed in the middle of the search. And the whole thing just turned into a mess. Things that we never expected. But at the same time, we finally got to go up the trail. The helicopter already crashed, and we were coming back down. We were actually told, hey, we hope you're happy now because you caused a lot of problems trying to get up this trail. And I'm like, my goodness, my son's up here. What do you expect me to do? So there were a lot of frustrations, a lot of things that happened that I detail in the book. It's a pretty interesting thing. But the strange part is, we spent 3.5 years trying to find out, what's happening, what's going on. I received a lot of phone calls myself about, people saying that they saw Jared here or Jared in another place. As a matter of fact, I think it was the day after Jared disappeared, there was actually a report that he was seen at Mesa Verde National Park. And the report was from an actual ranger. And the ranger swore up and down it was him. But every time the media would talk to me about it, they were told, well, people from the sheriff's department, they said they interviewed the guy, and they didn't think that that was a story that they could really look into. But even though they kept saying, we talked to the guy, finally, very next year, September 11th, 2000, because this is almost a year later, or over a year later, this guy sends me a letter and says, the next time somebody tells you they talked to me, give them this letter. To this day, no one's talked to me. So I'm like, wow, are you serious? I'm trying to figure out, why was I told they interviewed him? And at the same time, he's saying no one ever interviewed him. So, a lot of frustrating things that were going on. We had no idea what was going on. Several times I was called and said, hey, we think we found something. And of course, there was no evidence that it was Jared. And so from that day on, there were so many theories. There were theories that I was told by one of the experts that he had drowned in the river and the water's so cold, it'll take 5 years for his body to come up. I was told a mountain lion took him. I was told that maybe he froze to death somewhere and we'll never find him. I was also told that, hey, guess what? Maybe somebody took him off the mountain and that could be a possibility. So if that were the case, you know, maybe it would have happened to be a crime scene and they didn't want anybody on the trail. But it took where it really started getting interesting is, you know, I was writing the book, my original book I was writing, and I quit writing it because it just didn't have any answers. And then eventually they found Jared's clothing almost 4 years later. They wanted me to go up and identify them, but in turn I asked them if there was any way they could email me a picture. And so when they sent the pictures to me, and I opened up the pictures on my computer, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I said, that's my son's clothing. I saw his jacket. I saw his pants. I saw his shoes. I started crying, and I thought, oh my goodness, they found him. And there was no sign of anything else except for the clothing. I decided to send an email. I emailed the pictures to my mom, my dad, my brother, and everyone because I wanted them to see the pictures too. And about 10 minutes after I sent the pictures out, my dad calls me. And my dad asked me, he says, Alan, he says, are you sure these pants belong to Jared? And I'm like, yes, you know, those are Jared's pants. And my dad said, wow, that's kind of interesting. And I'm like, what's interesting, Dad? He goes, well, didn't you see it? And I said, did I see what? He said, look at Jared's pants. They're inside out. And I'm like, what? They're inside out? And he said, yeah. He says, how would they get inside out? And so that's when the mystery really started setting in. And I brought the picture back up and I looked at them and I thought, oh my goodness, he's right. His pants are inside out. You know, how does that happen? And so I looked at the jacket, I looked at the pants again, looked at the shoes, and they decided to do a search the very next week. So I'm still kind of puzzled with what's going on. And the next weekend, it was kind of strange because I go and I meet at the bottom of the mountain at a place called Ted's Place, and I'm getting ready. I have like 10 people that are going up with me because they wanted me to be part of the search because they wanted to go up to see if they can find anything else. And it was kind of interesting because there was a big ordeal that happened in the parking lot at Ted's Place, and the guy, one of the deputies I was talking to was extremely rude, and told me he didn't want me coming up there in the whole works. But at the same time, finally the undersheriff got a hold of him and let him know that he had given me permission to bring extra people. But it was just, again, just really frustrating. But the interesting thing was, is we were climbing up the side of this mountain. And as we were climbing up the side of this mountain, not only did we have to, you know, hike up the Big South Trail, this mountain was just, it was hard to climb. They made me put a helmet on. They had a couple of search and rescue members with me as we climbed up the side. I literally was on my hands and knees at times, you know, falling, scraping my hands in the works. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how does anybody get up here? Not only anyone, how do these two guys get up here to find this stuff? And so we continued to climb, and I was told that Jared's clothing was found about 550 vertical feet up the mountain. So that's like if you stood at the bottom of the trail and looked straight up 550 feet. That's almost two football fields high. But when we were climbing the side, it's like about 1,500 feet. It's a long, long, long climb. And again, it's something that Jared never would have done. Number one, I said, look, we live in the mountains. We talked about a lot of things and his safety in the works. He never would have made that effort to go up that mountain. Number two, I couldn't understand how I was making the climb. As a matter of fact, I've been back up the mountain three times to go up to the area where Jared's clothing was found. And the last time we went, I took my daughter and my wife and a couple of my daughter's friends. And we actually ended up coming back down without finding the area. It was just too difficult, and I didn't want anyone to get hurt. That's how steep it is. So, and it's about a 1,500-foot climb. It's a long climb. But the interesting thing was while we were up there, I just got up to the top where Jared's clothing was found. and there was blue material everywhere. And the blue material happened to be from the pants. So when you look at the pants, one of the legs is missing, and it looks like, oh my gosh, you know, something, you know, just ripped his leg right off there. But I was told by the officials, and it was obvious when I got there, that the reason why the leg was missing off the pants, because it was a velour type pant, they were sweatpants, there were birds and rodents and all kinds of little animals up there pulling his pants apart, and they were using the blue material as part of their nesting. So the blue material was everywhere. I mean, you could just look around and see this little blue specks of cloth everywhere. So just got there, was looking at that, and as I was looking at it, they asked me, do I want to help search? And I said, no. I said, I am here. I said, I just want to see the place where you found everything. I said, I want to get off this mountain. And as soon as I said that, over the radio, somebody said, hey, is Mr. Atadero here yet? And the reply was, yeah, he's right here. Hey, we just found a tooth. And the interesting thing was, the week before, there was a big argument on TV, on national television, if anyone would find anything. And Dr. Baden out of New York said, you would find at least a tooth. Now, all of a sudden, we're finding this tooth. So they asked me to walk with them to this area. And they actually had the top of a cranium, the skull cap, sitting upside down with a tooth. And they said, look, we found top of a cranium and we found the tooth. So it was, I actually walked up there and again, it was extremely emotional. And I put my hand out and I said, can I hold the tooth? And they said, yeah. And they gave me the tooth and I held onto the tooth. And after about a minute of holding onto the tooth and literally just crying there, I gave him the tooth back and told Jared, I said, Jared, thank you for waiting till Daddy gets up on the mountain before somebody finds you. I had a long talk with Jared. But, so we left the mountain that day. And, again, we're still trying to figure out what happened, what's going on. So we send the tooth off. The CBI does a DNA test on the tooth and on the cranium to see if it belonged to Jared. And they send all the clothing off. So here's how it gets really interesting. They sent all the clothing away. And when they sent the clothing away, they came back with nothing. There was no blood on the clothing. And the theory at the time, the big theory at that time was a mountain lion. So there was no blood. There was no mountain lion hairs. There were no mountain lion hairs. Nothing. No DNA, no human tissue, nothing on any of Jared's clothing, on his jacket, on his pants, or on his shoes. And his jacket was intact in the front. And usually when a mountain lion attacks you, it goes for the stomach area and it shreds any clothing you have on. So I contacted several mountain lion experts and they were telling me there's no way he was attacked by a mountain lion. It doesn't make sense because there would be mountain lion hairs or mountain lion DNA on his clothing. They found nothing. Not a trace of a thing. So again, I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on here? Then when they did the DNA test for the tooth and the cranium, they came back with the cranium that it was an 86% chance that it was Jared, but they couldn't say that it was him 100%. Back in the day, I guess the DNA, the testing was there, but it's not what it is today. But the interesting thing was, is I got these things and they're called electropherograms. And they sent them to me, a copy of them. I contacted a doctor out of Ohio. I think he was with Wright State out of Ohio, and he's a DNA expert. And I asked him if I could send him the electropherograms, and I want to know if he can make heads or tails out of them. So I send these electropherograms to him, and he contacts me and says, you know, this is really confusing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, the tooth. He says, do you have any of the tooth? I said, no, they completely destroyed it. They smashed it, destroyed it when they did the DNA testing. He said, it's interesting because there are two people's DNA right here. He said, the tooth is contaminated. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He says, I don't know how this happens. He said, every expert I know and everyone I know in the business, they would never contaminate anything like this. And there are two people's DNA sitting right here. So he goes, I don't know what they're trying to tell you. I'm not sure what they're trying to say. He says, but this shouldn't be happening. So I'm frustrated again. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Now what? Now what's going on? And still have no idea what's going on. So no blood, no mountain lion hairs, and no body tissue. And at the same time, the tooth has more than one person's DNA. So I'm still trying and still sending things out. When we found out that there was some hair on Jared's jacket, but the jacket, the hair was, it wasn't identifiable. They couldn't identify what the hair or who the hair belonged to. All they said was we could not identify the hair. So again, we're still lost and we're still confused. So we don't know what's going on. It took us about, 10 years after the tooth and cranium were actually found on my third DNA test that we found out that it was actually Jared. So that was interesting to find out. But the things that were really confusing happened to be the shoes. Even one of the investigators in the report says the shoes look excellent. So most people that I talked to were like, how do they get back up there and why do they look so nice? As a matter of fact, I have two other sets of shoes that were the exact shoe that we used during the search, because I went and purchased them because I wanted to give the searchers the shoe that Jared had so they could look at the bottom. Well, the interesting thing is I just put one of those shoes out, and I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I put it out in my backyard and I wanted to leave it outside for 3.5 years and see what it looks like, because like I said, this shoe looked as if it were brand new. Again, no blood on the clothing. I met a gentleman named Andy Peterson. He was attacked by a mountain lion not far from where I used to live. And when he was attacked, he survived it. And he was telling me that, my goodness, when this mountain lion attacked him, he said there was blood all over my shirt, all over my shorts, all over my shoes, all over the trail, all over my backpack. He said there was blood everywhere. There's no way in the world they wouldn't find any blood on his clothing. So again, we're still trying to figure out, you know, what happened from that perspective.
Yeah, and I thought about it. It kind of makes you crazy, because when you sit there and you think, what if he took off his own clothes? Well, how would he have? It's like, maybe if his clothes were found at the bottom, that would make sense. But how would he have gotten up there to take his own clothes off? How would he have climbed up there to take his own clothes off up at the top, right?
Right.
But if he had been taken up there by a mountain lion, then there would have been damage to his clothes. There would have been blood. So, like, you can go around in circles in your mind about this over and over again. It's very frustrating. Right.
Well, not only that, if a mountain lion were dragging him up a cliff for 1,500 feet, you would think that you would see some type of scuff mark on the back or the front of the toe, and there's no scuff marks at all on Jared's shoes. Not only that, he didn't like tying his shoes, and so let's say something was dragging him up the mountain and his heel was dragging on the ground, his shoes would have popped off. They wouldn't have been up there where his clothing was found. But you touch on something that's really interesting. So after they did this search for in the clothing area and looking for any remains, a report came out. And let me read the part of the report, because what you said is interesting. They're talking about Jared's clothing, and here's what the report says. It says the reported absence of any stains that might have come from either blood or decomposition fluids indicates that they were either removed from or by the victim prior to the time any significant bleeding or composition took place. So what this is saying is, the reason you don't find any blood or tissue on his clothing is because something either took the clothing off of him, or Jared took the clothing off of him. So himself. And I'm like, that's kind of an interesting thought, because number one, if Jared were on the Big South Trail and he was hiking on the trail and something attacked him right there on the trail, then took him up the mountain, there had to be a bleeding that would have taken place all over his clothing, number one. Number two, it's kind of funny, because it says either something or someone took the clothing off of him beforehand. Okay, let's go farther on into the report. It says Jared's disappearance must have been fairly close to the Big South Trail. So here's the second part of the report. They're saying that whatever happened to Jared happened to him on the Big South Trail. Yet his clothing was found almost 1,500 feet up the side of the mountain, or 550 vertical feet up. So according to that report, either it says that either something or the victim took his clothing off of him. Okay, let's do that. Let's say Jared was attacked at the bottom of the trail. and Jared took his clothing off at the bottom of the trail, or something took his clothing off at the bottom of the trail. Then they carried his body up to where his shoes are found. Well, how did his clothing get up there then? It's like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, I can buy into your that concept, but you're saying either something or someone took his clothing off before anything, any tissue or any blood could have been put on the clothing. And at the same time, they're saying he was attacked by the trail. I don't get that. It's like something, his clothing happened, must have been with his body when it went up the trail. And if that's the case, there would have been something all over it. So because then it comes on to say here that says hikers and searchers on the trail would have encouraged the animal to move away from the kill site. So they're saying, okay, Jared was on the trail. Something attacked him on the trail. Now there are people looking for Jared and there are searchers looking for Jared. So this, whatever it may have been, decided I need to take the body elsewhere because people are going to see it. So it removed the body and went up the mountain. I can comprehend some of that stuff, but at the same time, you're going back here saying something or someone took his clothing off of him before there were any body fluids or blood, you know, deposited on his clothing. Well, again, how long would it take something to take him 1,500 feet up the mountain? I'm sure it would take a while. It took me a while to get up the mountain, and so it just doesn't make sense. So, and it's quite interesting. So, but there are a lot of things that, you know, people come up. People have talked to me about a lot of things. A lot of people say, you know what, that doesn't make sense, and to me it doesn't make sense either. And to me it's like, it's not that I don't believe anyone saying what happened here and what happened there. To me it's like, if it doesn't make sense, I have a hard time buying into it. It's like I don't want to be sold something that's unbelievable, and like, it's kind of weird because I get people that contact me all the time. And for instance, if you look at the top of the cranium they found, there are a lot of scratch marks on the surface. I mean, scratch marks all over the surface. I've been told from, you know, all kinds of different theories about the scratch marks. Well, I had one lady actually contact me, and she was a doctor. She was an anthropologist, and she says, I know exactly what caused the scratch marks all over the cranium. And I'm like, really, what's that? And she said, that's river scratching. She said, that's it rolling in the river, and the river rocks are hitting it, causing all those scratches. She says, I've seen this many times, and I can guarantee you that's what it is. She said, so what happened is, and the interesting thing is the lower mandible is gone. And she said the mandible and the upper part of the cranium are not attached. So the mandible could have fallen off in the river after a few days or after the body was there for a while. She said only that the teeth would not be there either. The teeth would be falling off and his shoes would be floating away somewhere. So she came on, and I had a dialogue with her back and forth, and I said, well, you know, that's kind of interesting because where Jared was found, which was, like I said, 550 vertical feet up the mountain, how, if he was rolling in the river and his teeth were no longer part of the cranium, how did a tooth end up next to the cranium? And she, you know, waited about a day and contacted me and said, I know exactly what happened. He was in the river and there was a flash flood, and the flash flood deposited everything right there in that area. Why don't you check to see if there was a flash flood in the area? And I contacted her back and said, well, I can buy that, but you got to understand, this flash flood, this place, 550 vertical feet, there's no flash flood in the area that's going to be that high, especially when you go look at the mountain right there. So to me, it's like, well, if you're going to find this tooth and a cranium there, maybe we can find Noah's Ark there too, because it'd have to be a major flood. And after I explained that to her, she never contacted me again. But just weird things. And then another weird thing, I received a phone call, and I answered the phone, and the person on the other end, it was a man. And he said, hey, I need to talk to you. He says, I can't tell you what my name is, and I can't tell you who I am. He said, but I will tell you this. He said, please understand. He says, I work for the sheriff's department, and they're not telling you everything. And I'm like, well, what do you mean they're not telling me everything? He said, sir, he goes, I just want to let you know you're not being told everything. And not only that, he said, eventually the truth is going to come out. And when the truth comes out, I will call you back and I will stand by your side and say, I told him that they weren't telling him everything. And I said, well, what's your name? You know, please tell me who you are. And he said, no, I'm sorry. I can't talk to you anymore. I need to get off the phone now. And he hung up. So I've just had some weird situations throughout Jared's complete disappearance. And It's just a mystery that's still waiting to be solved.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
I was wondering, was that ever established to be a child's tooth?
Well, there's been debate on that also. I tried to post pictures. Some people have come back and said it could have been, but it looks like it's from somebody that's about 7, 8, or 9 years old. There's been a debate back and forth with people. It hasn't really been decided that, yeah, it could have been a tooth that was in a 3-year-old. But at the same time, like I said, the weird part is, you know, was it really Jared's tooth even? You know, was it just a, like I said, they were arguing on Fox News, the national network, that, you know, they're not going to find anything. Oh, yes, they will. And then Dr. Baden said, we'll find at least a tooth. And that's what they found, was a tooth. And so, you know, to me, it's like, this is weird. This is kind of strange. Why does he say they're going to find a tooth? And then they find a tooth. And then all of a sudden they check the DNA and it's contaminated with two different people's DNA. And they didn't say it was Jared's DNA. They said two people's DNA. So,
yeah, and that was weird when I was reading your book, that whole initial DNA testing. I forget exactly what the number was, but they were able to exclude a certain percentage of people as being the parents. But I think that was the skull cap, not the tooth.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
And it was like a 86% or something. It wasn't a number that made you really think, oh, for sure that was his.
Right. Yeah, it was 86%. Right. And like I said, it took 3 different DNA tests and 10 years in order for us to find out it was Jared. So, you know, I was happy to find that out. But like I said, the thing is, I know that Jared's no longer with us in the works. I understand that. I mean, I've had interesting things happen to me. I know that. The thing is that I'm confused with is I just like to know what happened now. And there's too many things with too many questions. It's like, you know, the clothing. Why is the jacket? Why is it not shredded when it should have been? You know, why no blood? Why no hairs? You know, why do the shoes look like they were in great condition still? And just too many questions that for me to sit there and say, okay, this is good for me. I'm done. And it's not like I'm trying to drag Jared's story on forever in the whole works. It's just, I'd like to find out what happened to him.
Every time that I've read about Jared's disappearance, it's really not anything that you can just say, oh, definitely makes sense that it was a mountain lion, because there's too many things that are weird. And like you said, that phone call, yeah, it does seem like maybe you're not being told everything.
Right. And like I said, too, it's, I, to be honest with you, I've been told many things that could have happened to Jared. And it's kind of funny because to me, it's like, that people ask me, they say, what do you believe? And my response is always, I don't believe anything. There are so many theories out there that if I start believing one of the theories and it's incorrect, I won't focus on the rest of them. And then I'm going to miss what happened to him. So right now, I just have to keep an open mind until somebody presents evidence that says, this is what happened to him. I know he's not with us, but what happened to him?
He had spoken to a couple of fishermen, too, once he was separated from that group, correct?
Correct. Yeah, he was walking up the trail, ran into a couple of fishermen, tagging along with them. And from what I understand, he had actually asked them, are there bears up here? I don't know why he asked that. Somebody just recently had sent me a message and asked me, do you think maybe he could have seen something? And that's what triggered that question. And I thought, you know what? I never really thought about that because it's an interesting question that Jared would have asked at that point. But the fishermen went on to go fishing, and Jared continued up the trail. And if the fishermen would have held on to Jared right there, hopefully we would have him still to this day. But yeah, said there's just so many things that happened that just led to this mystery.
And I don't know if you want to even get into this, if you don't want to, that's fine. But I know I had seen that, and I've actually talked to families who have dealt with this before too, where you had somebody come forward claiming to be Jared.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I had a guy harassing me for a year. I mean, he actually showed up at my work. And he showed up at the district building at the school district I work at. He didn't actually show up at my school, but he started sending me all these messages, and he signed on to Facebook as Jared Atadero and started claiming that he was my son, and he wanted to see me and contact me, and I tried to let him know, hey, listen, buddy, you know, we had a DNA test done, and we know that the cranium belongs to Jared. And he came back and said, I know, that's my cranium. It belongs to me. And then he'd start sending me pictures. Look, Dad, they fixed me. They put my cranium back together. And it was pretty horrifying. And originally, I had to have the sheriffs at my house several times because we were not sure if he was going to show up or not. And he was in the area. I think he went back to California. But we've worked, and I know if he shows up, there is an arrest warrant out for him. It was kind of weird because one day I just get this instant message that says, Dad, how are you? It's raining in California. And I'm like, and it was from Juan something, Jared Juan something. And I thought, Jared Juan something. It's interesting. This guy has the same first name as my son. And then I started thinking about it. Well, Juan, that's John in Spanish. Well, my son's name is Jared John. Jared John added here. And I thought, then as the more I looked at it, I thought, oh my gosh, is this person trying to say he's Jared? And then the next message I got from him, Dad, it's me. Please talk to me. And like I said, I got harassed with pictures and everything for almost a complete year, at least 2 and 3 times a week.
I understand that, you know, sometimes people do these things for attention or whatnot, but I just don't understand the mindset of people who do that.
Oh, yes. Well, I actually also had, you know, maybe within a year after Jared had vanished, I had a lady right off the bat. Actually, it was that week. She called me and told me that she helps people looking for their children, and she wanted to help and all this stuff. And then she started telling me that she had proof that Jared was in a child labor camp, and she actually had pictures of him. And when I asked for the pictures, she said she's sorry that they were top secret. I couldn't see them. And then next thing you know, she's telling me there were two women who kidnapped Jared because they wanted money from me. They wanted my resort that we had at the time. And went back and forth. And finally, I said, you know what? I just don't know what to believe. You know, someone needs to give you a polygraph test. And she said, that's what I want. So the undersheriff at the time got in touch with her. They got her together. They gave her a test. And the undersheriff called me, Ern Hudson, and said, hey, Alan, she's been making it all up. She's been lying. What do you want us to do with her? And I said, lock her up and put her in the farthest cell you can find. And he said, that's what I was hoping you'd say. And we've had a lot of strange people contacting us. And, you know, it's sad. It's a sad situation why people would even want to try to make some type of connection with us in a negative way.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. Alan and his brother Arlen have written a book about Jared's story. It's called Missing When the Sun Sets. I read it and I highly recommend it for anyone who would like to learn more about Jared's case. I talked to Alan about it and we're going to be giving away a signed copy of the book in the Facebook group for the show. So if you're interested, please join the group and I'll be posting more information about that there.
Yes, I have a twin brother, and he came up right away when Jared went missing, and we started collaborating back and forth. I would put some stuff together, send it to him, and he'd put some stuff together, send it back to me, and we went back and forth until we had it completely together. He was he just retired last year. He was an assistant superintendent of a school district in California.
Is the best place to send people to buy your book on Amazon?
Yeah, you can go to Amazon. It's on Create Space, but the best place, if you're really looking for a link, go to my Facebook page, my Facebook book page, which is Missing When the Sun Sets. And the thing is, and when you spell sun, it's spelled S-O-N, not S-U-N, because it's a play on words, because in my life, my son sat out of my life. So it's called Missing When the Sun Sets on Facebook. And I have a couple of links there. You can go to Create Space, Amazon. It's on Kindle. And you can follow the story too there. I post things, updates every week to any information that might be new concerning Jared's case. I try to post pictures up there or post things that I might have so that when people go to the page, they can actually see what's going on in the works. For instance, I'm going to post a video today. It's the first time I'm trying this, but it's kind of funny. 3 weeks after Jared disappeared, I wrote this poem called What Did Jesus Say? And I wrote it probably a week after Jared disappeared, but on October 25th, 1999, which is like 23 days after Jared vanished, I took this poem and I emailed it to my mom and my twin brother. And when I emailed it to them, I was in my bedroom. I had a small apartment at the time. I was in my bedroom and nobody was there with me. So and my computer was up against the wall by a window. So I hit send and I walked out of my bedroom. And when I walked out of my bedroom, I went into the living room and I called my dad. So as I'm talking to my dad, there's a big noise in my bedroom. And I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "something's going on in my bedroom. I think a storm's blowing in. I need to go in and go close the window." So I walk into the bedroom and the weight on the curtain is just swinging back and forth like a gust of wind had hit it. And it's swinging back and forth. So I walk up to the window to close the window and the window's closed already. And I'm like, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." I said, "But the window's closed. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. I need to hang up. I need to figure out what's going on here." So as soon as I hang up, my mom calls me. And she says, "Honey," she says, "you know, that's a nice poem, but what does the number 8217 mean?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? What does the number 8217 mean?" She says, "It's all through here." I said, "No, it's not, Mom. There's no 8217 in that poem at all." So she emails it back to me and I open it up and there's no 8217. So I call my brother and I said, "Can you open that email up and look at it?" And he says, "No, there's no 8217 in it." So my mom says, "You know what? I will print this up to prove it to you, and I will fax it to your school tomorrow." She worked at the school at the same time. So she faxes it to me, and 8217 is all through it. I'm like, "Wow, my goodness, 8217. So I get with a bunch of friends and my mom, and we go for 2 weeks thinking, is it a part of a phone number? Is it part of a license plate? Is there something here that maybe somehow mysteriously we're trying to get a message? And we didn't know what it was. And so about 2 weeks later, my mom says, "I've got it figured out. I know what 8217 is." And I'm like, "Okay, Mom, what is 8217? And she said, "8217, if you take the eighth letter, the 21st letter, and the seventh letter of the alphabet, it spells hug." And I'm like, "Wow, Mom, that's kind of crazy." She says, "That weight flying back and forth, that was Jared trying to get your attention because he just sent you a hug." And mm-hmm. I'm going to post a little video of that today on my page about, you know, that situation. But it was one of the weirdest things that never happened to me. It was kind of strange. And at that time, we didn't know what happened to Jared, but I kept thinking, he's not with us.
That brings us to the end of episode 82. I'd like to thank Alan for taking the time to share Jared's story and all of you for listening. Again, if you want to follow Jared's case, please follow Missing When the Sun Sets on Facebook. Oh, and I mentioned in the beginning of the show that Jared's story is featured in the Missing 411 movie. I had followed Jared's case for years before the movie came out, and I must say that the movie really did help me visualize the whole area. So if you want to check that out, I know you can rent it on Amazon right now. I have several projects that I'm working on right now. I'm just moving a little bit slower than usual. Since I create the show myself, it's been a little bit tough the past few weeks. If you try to contact me in the next 2 weeks, I'm reading all your messages. It's just taking me a little bit longer to get back to everybody. If you want to reach me, you can find me on Facebook where there's a page and a group. You can also contact me through thevanishedpodcast.com. I'm also on Twitter at thevanishedpod and on Instagram as well. I hope everybody has a great week and I'll catch up with you as soon as I can. If you're looking for updates on me, I'll try to keep you guys informed on social media. All right, thanks everyone.
Oh.
a week to the day after Jared vanished, my twin brother was still here in Colorado because he lives in California. We were walking through a store and all these paper towels up in the still fell down on top of us. And I looked at my brother and he says, "Jared's trying to get your attention." I started laughing. I said, "Yeah, he always liked to kid around with me." And I kept thinking, "Gosh, Jared, you know, are you no longer with us? Are you trying to tell Dad, it's okay, you know, don't worry about it. I'm all right." And I just had a lot of weird things like that happen to me.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.